You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians, first chapter. I'll quote a few verses, and then I'll let you look at some. And if you're taking notes, by all means, write down the scriptures as I quote them. You need to know where it is. Doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter what I think or you think. What matters is what God says. Amen? And good news is God loves us. That's not complicated. Are you out there? God loves us. That pretty well defines a lot of what God does. If you want to know, deep theology, or if you want to get into doctrine, teaching, and so on and so forth, what are the doctrines of the church, the teachings of the church? Well, first of all, everything bows its knee to Jesus. We walk with him through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We watch him as he heals the sick, raises the dead, casts out the devil, forgives sinners. He was always forgiving sinners. He wasn't condemning them. He'd forgive them. Do you ever notice that? His church was made up by all kinds of people, some high, some low. It wasn't a high church, and it wasn't a low church, and it wasn't a middle church. It was just a church of all kinds of people, which is the way church should be. We're not a designer-friendly church. We're not targeting a certain group, age group of people in our church. We're not targeting a certain type of lifestyle in a church, the things that you like or I like. And there's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong. I'm for reaching anybody any way we can. But the church as a whole, the church is for everybody. Old people, young people, short people, tall people, rich people, poor people. Are you out there? People with lots of hair, people no hair. It should be for everybody. And so Jesus proved that. He would minister to rich people. He didn't neglect the rich. He'd minister to poor people. He'd minister to people that had businesses and people that were drunks and harlots. And, he ministered to all of them. Hallelujah. And what the common theme that you see through all that, if you want your doctrine straight, get it clear, is God is love. Pure and simple. God is holy, but God is also love. And if we're trying to reach people that are in sin, we don't condemn, we don't judge. We believe that what they're doing is wrong. We have a standard. I live holy and live right. I believe that. But we don't hate people because they sin. We hate sin because we love people. Don't get all excited now because I love you, because I do. And don't get all thrilled because God loves you, because he does. He loves you. Now, he's not happy with sin, doesn't like sin, but he loves you. And what we see through the scripture is that love is the compelling force, not law. We came out of law. Thank God we're under a new covenant. Aren't you glad? Yeah, three of y'all are really excited about that. I'm glad we're under grace, not under law. Under law, it was up to us, totally, 100%. It was weak, the Bible says, in that it was in the flesh. It required your flesh and my flesh. It required you to be perfect, me to be perfect. Thank God Jesus came and took care of that for me. Thank God he paid a price I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. That old song. What is that? How that song go? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Y'all remember that song? Yeah, okay. Good. Now I'm getting talking to the older people. Younger people are going, that's a good song. He paid a debt I owed, hallelujah, and I could not pay, hallelujah. Christ Jesus washed my sins away. Ooh, glory to God. And the compelling force of that was not law. The reason God came down and touched us and met our need was not his holiness. He is holy. Stay with me. But it was his love. His love overcame all that. His love covered all that. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love does not uncover a multitude of sins. I'm amazed at some ministries that their whole ministry really is exposing the sins of other ministries. You ever notice that? There's radio programs where they do just that. They'll take whoever's the most popular preacher, and they'll try to find something wrong with what he's saying or doing or living or whatever. And they just, their whole program, it seems like week after week after week, are the sins of God's people. But the Bible says the love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't uncover it. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God looked past your sin and accepted you? That's what I could not fight. Before I got saved, I didn't believe in God. When I was younger years, I did. My parents took me, when they did go to church, they went to a Church of Christ. But I was real little and I never really got anything out of it. I just, I remember one time the lights went out in the middle of the service in the Church of Christ, and I thought, well, man, I'm going to hell because I hadn't been baptized, you know. That's all I remember. I didn't know anything, you know. That's all I picked up. And so, you know, when I got in my teenage years and later, I got pretty rebellious and got in drugs, moved out of the house when I was 15. Goodness, I got married when I was 17. I was 17, Brenna was 16. I was lost as a goose. Thank God I got saved. Thank God I got saved. And I got saved when I was 19. But I lived a pretty rough life, you know, jails, drugs, and the whole nine yards. And when this guy started witnessing to me on the job, his name was J.D. Love. That was his name, J.D. Love. He was a foreman on a job that a chemical plant I was working in Houston, Deer Park, Texas, actually, Upjohn Chemical. And he started witnessing to me, and I made fun of him quite a bit. I can't even tell you what I said to him. It was so bad. But I'd laugh at him and make fun of him, grabbed his hands one time, looked up to heaven, cussed God for all he's worth. And I said, where is he? I don't see him. He should have struck me with lightning, you know. I mean, that's how way off I was. I mean, it just hurts me to even say that. It embarrassed him, and he should have fired me, but he didn't. He just turned around and walked off, you know. Next day, he's back telling me about Jesus again. And I thought, wow, this guy's a nutcase. You know, he really believes this stuff. And that's the truth. He really did believe that stuff. And he would just keep telling me about the Lord. And finally, after months of that, I just couldn't fight that. I mean, if he had got mad at me or fought back or something, you know, that, yeah, that's right, just like me, no different than anybody else. But, you know, he walked away and he prayed. He kept ministering to me, and I couldn't get around that. When I got saved, actually what happened to me is I just gave up. I gave up the fight. That's really what it was, because God was there the whole time. The hound of heaven was on my trail. He was relentless. He was not going to stop. He was going to keep coming. And the only way I was going to stay away is to keep running and keep fighting. And I fought with everything I could, tooth and nail, but I could not fight love. I could not fight it. I couldn't fight the love of God, and I couldn't fight J.D. Love. Love's what got me saved. It really is. I remember the time I gave it in. I gave up. I laid it down. I just quit. I quit fighting. Amen. And I said, here I am. And that's when I got saved. That's when I accepted Jesus. And it was not law that got me. It wasn't just my awareness of my sin. I knew I was a sinner. I didn't take a lot of snap to figure that out. But that wasn't what got me. It was the love of God that got me. It was that he loved me anyway, and that he sent Jesus anyway, and he was never going to give up on me, and he was going to keep on my trail, and he wanted me to come to him, and he wanted to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. That's what just blew me away. I couldn't fight it. And so one day I did. I accepted Jesus. I never will forget. I tried to be good for several days. I did. I was doing drugs at that time, so I put them up on a shelf, and I cussed profusely at that time. And so I tried not to cuss for about 2 days. Actually, three, I think. I might let one or two slip. But I was so miserable. I was so miserable. I mean, I wanted the drugs. I wanted to cuss. I wanted to do all that stuff. See, I was trying to change all the outside, and God won't change the inside. Yeah. Are you out there? He's wanting to change me in here. I was thinking if I changed enough stuff out here, I'd be okay. But that wasn't going to work, because I'd still be lost as a goose. I still hadn't accepted Jesus. I still didn't know him. I still hadn't received him. And so it dawned on me, you know, that 3 days of trying that, I came home from Upjohn Chemical. I'd been blasting the inside of a chemical car. We were sandblasting the inside of a chemical car. And a hot day. It was in May. It wasn't like May this year, but it was a typical May in Texas. I don't remember the exact date because I didn't get saved in a church. But I came home, and I laid down in the middle of the floor, an apartment that we were staying in, Chateau Creole Apartments in Pasadena, Texas, on Red Bluff Road. And I laid down and I said, God, I can't do this. I remember saying that. I just gave up. I said, God, I can't do this. I tried. I tried to be nice, tried to be good. I can't do this. I was being as honest as I could be. And I said, God, if you could help me. And it's the first time I ever remember saying Jesus, calling on Jesus. I said, Jesus, would you please help me? And the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I need to have all my theology straight. I learned later about scriptures, John 3:16, Romans 10:9, and all that. But that day, I gave my heart to Jesus. I surrendered to Jesus. And I asked him to help me and come into my life. And I didn't have a lightning bolt. Everything didn't change for me overnight, you know. But I felt a peace. I felt a rest. And I went in. It's the most amazing thing. I went in, and I got my drugs off the shelf and just flushed them all down the commode. I don't know why, I just did. I thought, well, I wasn't putting it in reserve now. I was just getting rid of it. I was starting a new life, you know. And I had a friend call me the very next day. We've been looking for quite amount of drugs that we've been looking for in Houston. And believe it or not, we couldn't find it till that day. Well, he calls me that day after I got saved and said, I found these drugs that we're going to go in half and half on. I said, oh, man. And this is how it was. I said, oh, man, I hate that because I just got saved. I said, I can't do that. He said, what? I said, I just turned my life over to God. I was serious as I could be. I hadn't been in church yet. I said, man, if you'd have called me yesterday, I'd have bought it. But, I mean, that's the way I was thinking, you know. And, I mean, I wasn't religious. I had no religion in me, okay. And I was just as sweet and nice as I could to him. He's still my friend, you know. He was still lost. He said, oh, man, I hate that, you know. Okay. I said, well, you probably need to do the same thing. He said, well, probably do. He said, man, I wish you all the best. In fact, I went over to see them the next day, and they were doing drugs, and they were passing it around. I mean, I did not know anything. I hadn't been to church, okay? I just got saved. And so they're passing drugs. And I said, no, I don't want that. I don't need that. Go ahead. Thank you, though. Thank you, you know. I'm being nice. I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't need that. Just got saved. Hey, y'all ought to get saved. Man, I turned my life over to God last night. It's awesome. You know, I didn't use the word awesome back then. I probably said, it's the right thing, Jack, you know, something like that. But anyway, oh, that's good. Well, then they finally got to where they were proud for me. I mean, they're still my friends, you know. I rode to work with them and everything, and, you know, we hung around. And the years went by, they got saved. Took a few years, but they finally got saved. But what got me was the love of God. It overwhelmed me. It consumed me. It broke me down. I lost the fight. I couldn't fight the love. And that's what John 3:16 says. It says, for God so loved the world. It didn't say he so hated the world. Even people out there in sin, people that you don't like what they're doing, God does not hate them, and we cannot hate them either. We may not like what they're doing, but we should love them, we should pray for them, we should stand behind them just in case one day they turn around and come back. The prodigal son came back one day, and the Bible says that the father saw him down the road. That father had been looking down that road a long time. He was looking down that road when he came back. That's what we ought to be doing, is looking for those people to turn around. Loving people that are in sin. Not loving their sin, but loving them. And praying for them. Amen? Listen, I'm not going to be rude, crude, and indignant to somebody that doesn't know Jesus just because they're lost. I was lost one day, too. I don't have any stones to throw. Are you out there? And that's not what's going to win them. You're not going to win people if you don't love people. If you don't really show concern for people and care for people. Now, you have standards. I have standards. I'm not going to violate those standards. I'm going to live right, and I'm going to live holy. But my job is not to straighten out the world. You know, can you imagine trying to clean fish before you catch them? I mean, really. Jumping off a boat with your scuba diving gear and knife and fillet knife, trying to find the fish and skin them out and then go catch them. Are you out there? You don't clean fish before you catch them. You catch them and then clean them. Just a thought. Thought I'd throw that out there. So, Ephesians 1, found it? Notice what it says here, and it starts out in the first verse, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. This is King James, but it means he made alive. You know, used to, if you cut someone to the quick, you cut them to the life. That was an old King James way of talking. But you hath he made alive. Everybody say, I am alive.
I am alive.
Thank God I'm not dead anymore. Praise God I'm alive. And God's the one that made me alive, and I was dead in trespasses and sins. That's the problem with sin, is it'll kill you. See, sin's a bad thing. That's why God's against it. I used to be dead in my sins, but I'm alive now in righteousness. I'm alive in the righteousness of God now. I have not my own righteousness, but the righteousness that comes from heaven. Hallelujah. I could never be good enough, but he was good enough for me. I could never do everything that needed to be done. He did it all for me. And so now I have not my own righteousness, as Paul says, but the righteousness of God, which comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, you're never going to go to heaven on your goods, and your righteousness, or your goodness. You're going to heaven on his righteousness. To him that knew no sin, he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Ooh, hallelujah. Are you out there? Now, what's so staggering about that, and it almost sounds blasphemous to say it and sacrilegious to say it, but it's the truth nonetheless, and we need to get a hold of this. If God were standing right here, oh boy, get your religious glasses off for a minute. Get your religious hearing aids off. If God were standing right here in Christ now, he would be no more righteous than I am because I don't have my righteousness. I have his. Now that just sounds staggering to even say that. It almost sounds sacrilegious or heretical to even say that. But what else can we say? Whose righteousness do you have? I hope you don't have your own, because that's not good enough. You need his to get to heaven. That's what Jesus came to do, to give us a righteousness that we did not have. All of our righteousness is his filthy rags. But he's given us a righteousness that's beyond ours. It's his. Hallelujah. And we're going to heaven on his righteousness. We're going to heaven on what he did, not what we did. Now, why did he do all that? Because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, love compels us to give. We get the whole thing backwards. We want to clean everybody up, even ourselves sometimes, and then love. But see, love's what makes us do right and live right. Not the other way around. If I can just clean myself up, no, I'll love people. No, if you love people and you love God, you'll start cleaning yourself up. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I love that one. That's good. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, love will help you keep the commandments. Love will help you bless people. But if we're trying to get the cart before the horse, clean everybody up and then get them saved. No, they're going to have to get saved and then get cleaned up. We don't ignore their sin. We know the sin's there. We still live right. We still live holy. But aren't you glad God didn't clean us up before we got saved? Sure, it's getting quiet in here. What I'm trying to do is help our approach to people that are lost. You can't wait till they get saved before you love them. You can't wait till they get right before you show some kind of compassion or concern. You have to show concern and compassion and love for people even before they get saved. Not because of their sin. Of course, it's in spite of their sin. It's because we love them that we reach out to them. You know, even in a church, it's different. When you come into a church, we don't have people at the doors, you know, making you fill out forms, and won't have a detective, you know, checking you out before you can come inside the church. People come in from all different walks of life, all different levels of commitment to God. Some people are just lost when they come to church. Are you with me? And that's fine. It should be that way. They ought to be able to come in here and hear the Word of God and get convicted by the Holy Spirit and turn their lives around. Sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes it's a little quicker with others. But, you know, we don't have any requirement for people to come to church. If you come, you want to get involved, yeah, it's a little more requirement because that's a little more commitment. If you're going to teach, we want you to live a little more holy because you're an example. Now you're a light. Are you with me? If you're going to be up front on the stage, those levels, of course, as you get closer to God, those things fall off. The things of the world begin to fall off you. Are you with me? So when someone just comes to church, that's one thing. When they get more involved and they get more submitted, they get more authority, responsibility, just like a job. I mean, a guy hires on a job, not a whole lot of requirements, you know. He's got to fill out a form. He comes to a job and he hires on. Well, he doesn't get the key to the building until he starts coming on time for quite some time. Till he does the job he's supposed to do. He shows some commitment and some change and some submission to the vision or the cause of the company, then the company gives him more authority. That's what we're talking about. He's still an employee, but there's levels of authority there. You want more authority? Well, the Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Submit first, and authority comes second. But it starts with love. God loves us when we're not even really submitted or committed or where we ought to be. Don't think because you've done a lot of good stuff now and you've lived for God for several years that he loves you more. He doesn't. He loved you just as much when you were lost. But he can trust you more, and he can give you more authority, and he can use you more. And that's what I'm shooting for, amen? I want to be used more. I want to be that inner circle. I want to be that Peter, James, and John. See, Jesus had his three inner circle guys that were a little more committed than the other guys. Oh, the other guys are still his disciples, And we can still be saved and get away with a whole lot. But if we love God, we'll want to get in there a little closer. And if we love people, we'll overlook their sin and pray for them and help them come up a little higher. Amen? It's real simple. It's the law of the highest to the lowest. You know, God's too high, he's too holy, and you were too low and too lowly. You couldn't reach him, so he just reached down and got you. The highest has always got to come down to the lowest. The sinner's not going to come up to the highest. Those that are saved are going to have to go to the sinner. We're going to have to reach out to the sinner. We're going to have to pray for the lost. We're going to have to show the love of God on our jobs and with our relatives and so on and so forth. And the love of God will finally win out. Love wins. Amen? Ephesians 2. Y'all get anything out of this?
Yes.
Okay, you can say amen every once in a while. Sure would help me. God bless you. I'll take a sneeze, really, Tracy, anything. Just. And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. All of us were there. We got no stones to throw. We were all lost. Now we're saved. Amen? We don't hate people that are lost. We don't think we're better than they are. We just found out something they don't know. You know, even in Christianity, there's almost a division. There's people that are just barely getting by, and there's people that are really involved in God. And I think the difference is we're not better. You know, it's not that I'm special. It's just that I know God loves me. And not everybody's convinced of that. Are you with me? Well, you know, God just does everything. God does this for that person, that person. I don't guess he just never do that for me. Well, the problem is not that you're special or not special. It's just you don't have a revelation of how much he loves you. If you had a revelation of how much God loves you, it wouldn't be any problem at all believing God. Love's where it's at. I know Tina Turner said love was a secondhand emotion. But Tina was no theologian. Oh, come on. Are y'all out there? What's love got to do with it? Got to do with, y'all remember that? Come on. What's love but a secondhand emotion? You know, well, she was so wrong. Love is not a secondhand emotion. That's lust. Love comes from God. Hallelujah. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love reaches out. Love has compassion. Love has care and concern. Love helps and heals. Hallelujah. Love blesses us. Love is why we're saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. It didn't say for God was so holy. Of course he's holy. We know that. But it was God's love that compelled him to reach out to the world. God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. If we love people, we'll help people. Are you out there? We're too concerned sometimes about staying just pure from the world that we don't reach out to the world. We're staying so pure, you know, that we don't show concern for people. Like we think that's going to make it look like we are impure because we reach out to people and love people. Oh, come on now. I'm not going to get in sin. I'm not going to get in somebody else's sin. But I want to reach out to the sinner. I want to show love for the sinner. I want to show the light and the love of God in my life. And we got to reach out. It's not all about us. There's a big world out here. Amen? And we are a light shining in a dark world. We need to let that light shine. That light is love. Okay, it says this. We all had, third verse, among whom we all had our conversation in time past, the way we lived, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we've all been there. We've got no stones to throw. But God. But God. Everybody say, but God. You know, that changes everything. I love that. You know, there's when you say something, you say, but, you just negated everything you just said. Oh, I know they're a good person. I understand all that. But, now you're fixing to tell me something bad about the person. You're fixing to negate what you said. Or I know this happened, that happened, but, that means you're going to turn the whole thing around. I love that. No matter what tragedies happen, what crises happen, what's going on in your life, there is a but God that you can change it. You can turn it around. You can negate whatever happened. Amen? By saying, but God. We all had our lifestyle this way. We all lived in this world. We all fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. Oh, hallelujah. This is more exciting. Y'all are getting excited. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Oh my. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath made alive and quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, am I the only one getting excited up here? It is the love of God that pulled me into God. It's the love of God that overcame all my sin and pulled me to Christ and brought me to Christ. It was the love of God that caused God to move heaven and earth to come down and reach me and touch me and love me. He sent Jesus out of his love for me while I was in sin. He didn't clean me and then catch me. Are you with me? He caught me and cleaned me. He caught me with his love. Jesus, as Jeremiah said this way, when Jesus came down, what happened is heaven bent over and kissed earth, and you and I got caught in the middle of the smack. Woo! I like it. Amen. We got caught in the middle of the smack of love. God's awesome, wonderful love that he loved us with. And see, that's what we've got to do. You know, we talk a lot about living right and living holy. And I agree. I'm all for that. I live holy. I live right. And I live my convictions. A lot of my convictions I don't preach, you know, because I know everybody's not where they I think they should be. But, I mean, some things are just not that big a deal. It's kind of gray. I go for one as opposed to the other. I always try to think of in terms of, what's the church going to think if they see me doing this or doing that? Nothing really wrong with a lot of things. Some things are just a bad witness. Are you with me? None of it has to do with my salvation. Stay with me. But I don't preach my convictions. I got some strong convictions about living certain ways. It's not necessarily scripture, but I just think it doesn't look good, doesn't look right, whatever. I preach the word. Pray for people. We're all different levels. Are you out there? Some people have a problem in one little area and not another. There's nothing in the scripture that says it. But in some areas, they have a real problem with it. The problem I think we have in church many times is we preach law. We'll find something that we don't really like, and then we'll just preach it like everybody's got to conform to it. You got churches that conform to all kinds of things. You know, they don't like this, they don't like that, and you know, certain type of music, certain type of dancing. Stay with me. I didn't quit dancing when I got saved. I just changed partners. Gotta have to think about that one. And I can't imagine what would be wrong with you dancing with your wife. I can't imagine that being wrong. But, you know, my background, the way I was raised, it kind of grates on me. But what in the world's wrong with that? I mean, come on. What in the world's wrong with some of those things? But we make so much a big deal of those kinds of things and leave out the big thing, which is love, loving people, reaching people. I'm not talking about robbing banks and killing. We know that's wrong. Stay with me. And hating, that's wrong. There's some things that are obviously wrong. But then we make the church a law instead of love, and people come in and they're hit with a law again instead of the love of God. And it's the love of God that got us where we are. And out of love, we serve him. Yes, we do. And I'll teach on living holy, living right. But it all comes from love. I can't live right enough to love God, but I can love God enough to live right. Now, see, y'all missed that. That was good. That was a great place to... You say, well, you just tell them they live any way. No, they can't live any way they want to. If you love God, you won't live the way you want to. If you love God, you'll start living right. In fact, you get more submitted, more committed, you'll come in a little closer. But it's not up to us to condemn. It's not up to us to hate. It's up to us to love people. Hallelujah. Woo. So, God who is rich in mercy, aren't you glad? Mercy is when you're wrong. Mercy is not when you're doing everything right and God does a favor for you. Mercy is when you're just flat out wrong. You are a sinner. You are lost. You are undone. You are a child of wrath. And out of God's mercy, he comes down and he forgives you. And God is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad? God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together in Christ. Everybody say alive in Christ. Okay, so you and I are in Christ. That's something different than we were. We were outside of Christ. Now we are in Christ. This is good stuff. 1 Corinthians 15 says, in Adam all die. In Christ all are made alive. I was in Adam. You were in Adam. But when you accepted Jesus, you are now in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I can go out and reconcile people with the love of God. But I've been born again. Everybody say, born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Think about it. Why do you have to be born again? Because you were lost, not because of what you were doing. You were lost because of who you were and who you were born through. You were in Adam, and in Adam all die. No good deed could you do. You couldn't do enough good deeds to get saved. You had to be born again. Of course, Nicodemus says, how can a man enter the second time to his mother's womb? Can he be born twice? And Jesus said, that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. Are you with me? You got to be born of the Spirit. That's what happened when you accepted Jesus. You were placed by the Spirit into Christ. Now you came out of Adam, and you're in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And in Christ, we're all made alive. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all live. Woohoo! I'm in Christ. Now, what did I do to get there? Nothing. I just believed. Well, why did God do that? Because he loves me. We can holler all day long because he's holy, but no, he is holy, no question, but it wasn't his holiness that got me saved. It was his love that got me saved. Well, he got me saved because he just hammered at me enough and told me how sorry no good I was and told me I'd never amount to nothing and told me I hate my mom, my papa, and never done a good thing in my life. I'm telling you, he just pushed me down and broke me and smashed me so much and told me how worthless and no good I was and how sorry I was. That's what got me saved. No, it wasn't. Not at all. What got me saved is that he loved me enough to send his son to die for me, that he was relentless in his pursuit of me, that he wanted me, that he believed in me when nobody believed in me, that he saw something in me when nobody saw anything in me, that he saw value and he saw worth in me. He just needed me to get saved. He just needed me to come to him. He just needed me in his kingdom. He wanted me in his kingdom. He sent Jesus to die for me. It was the love of God that got me. It was the love of God that saved me. Woo! Was I in sin? Yes. Was I wrong? Sure. Was I worthless without him? Yes, I was. But he brought me up. He put my feet on a solid rock. Lifted me out of the miry clay and put my feet on a solid rock. And on Christ, a solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Why? Love. How do you get around it? Love. You can't get around love. You can't get around it if you're going to get in the Bible. This is what they always accuse Jesus of. Forgiving people, loving people. Look at him. He's going to heal this man. You watch him. He'll do it right here in church on a Sabbath. You just watch him. He'll do it. They knew he was going to help somebody. They knew he was going to reach out to somebody. They knew he was going to forgive. Get that woman. Throw her down there. We caught her in the very act of adultery. The law says, stoner. What do you say? They knew he was going to forgive her. They knew he was too good. He was just too good. He was too much. Had too much love. We don't need this love stuff in this religion. We want religion. We don't want love. Wow. Well, you know, Jesus said, well, I went to you guys and y'all wouldn't listen. So I've gone to the harlots and I've gone to the publicans and they'll hear me. I'll go to the drunkards. I'll go to the lost people. They'll hear. And they did. By the droves they heard. And they repented and they got right with God because somebody showed them some love. All they had was religion. All they had was been beat on the head all their life, told how no good they were. Hear it every Sunday or every Saturday in the synagogue. Here comes Jesus and he starts hanging around these people. He starts loving these people. He starts forgiving these people. And they start turning their lives around. I mean, he didn't leave them where they were. Don't get me wrong. God loves you too much. He loves you so much he came after you, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. Amen. But it's the love that compels us. Woo. Y'all getting this? See, God is crazy about you. I know I say it all the time, but you need to get a hold of it. I need to get a hold of it. We have this works performance type thing where, you know, man, if I just do enough, God will be happy with me. Well, there are things that please God and things that displease God. But one thing for certain, God loves me. He loves me. He cares about me. He loved me when I was lost. And he loves me now. How much more does he love me now? And I do need to repent, but I need to repent because I love him and I don't want to displease or grieve him. Sure, I want to live right. I'm not finding out about the love of God and finding out about him loving me no matter what doesn't make me want to sin. It makes me want to live holy. Are you with me? I want to start really tweaking my life and really doing things that are right because he loves it. You ever remember how infatuated you were with each other when you started dating, if you're married? Man, I'm telling you, those guys opened the doors for those ladies, but after they got married, yeah, you know. Love compels you to do things to please people. When someone you really love comes over, you're just doing everything to make them happy. In fact, before they get there, you clean the house. Hallelujah for company. Or for company, we'd never clean the house. Okay, stepped over the line there. But anyway, when someone comes, you don't care anything about it. You know what? You don't do anything. You don't go the second mile. You don't do the extra stuff. You don't like them. So why do you do so much for the other person? Because you love them. See, love will cause you to do right. Love will compel you to do more than you should. You're in love with somebody. I'm telling you what, when people fall in love, I mean, they just go gaga and goo-goo. You just wonder when that puppy love is going to turn into a dog's life, you know. But anyway, and it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, you can be married for years. Brent and I just love each other more now I've ever loved. It's a more settled love. Obviously, I'm not talking to her hours and hours on the phone because I can't because she's on the phone most of the time. But anyway, we're writing notes to each other all the time. You know, we're just infatuated with each other. We love each other, and we're just doing everything we can to spend time with each other. And, you know, and we love each other more now than we did. It's just more settled love. It's a more solid love. It's like jumping off a diving board. When you fall in love, it's like jumping into a pool, you know. And when you're in love, it's learning how to swim. It's enjoying the pool. Most people never learn how to be in love. They just learn to fall in love, and that's it. And so they jump off the pool, and the thrill is gone. They're looking for another pool to jump in. But they never settle down and learn what real love is about, being in love. Man, it's just wonderful to swim around in that pool. It's all kind. I'm telling you, it's just awesome when you find out what you can do in a pool, man. You know, said this the initial jump. But that's what we look for is that thrill, that thrill, that thrill. But let that thrill settle. Let it mature. That's how marriage grows. And that's how a Christian walk grows, is we learn to love God more and more, and we get more settled in God and settled and comfortable around people that are lost, to where we can reach out to them, we can love them. Are you out there?
Yeah. Mm.
Y'all get anything out of this?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me wrap it up. I got to go down a few more verses at least. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where he loved us, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Grace, just favor. That's all it is. Unmerited favor. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. I'm already in a holy seat right now. I'm in a seat in the heavenlies with Jesus right now, spiritually speaking, as it were. That in the ages to come, this is an awesome verse, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his favor, and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Most people think of heaven being a place where all we do is worship God all day long, 24/7, for thousands and thousands of years. We even sing those songs, you know, about worshiping him, praising him forever. But actually, forever and ever and ever, what's going to be revealed is that God's grace and his kindness toward us. Flip that coin. See, there it again. We're still back in the works again. We think it's what we're going to do for God for thousands of years. We're going to find out what he did for us for thousands upon thousands of years. In fact, every year it goes by, we're going to find out how much more God loves us and how much more kindness he had toward us, how much more grace he's shown toward us. In fact, we're going to be in awe at his greatness and his kindness and his love. Will we worship him? You bet. But it'll be because he's so good. It's because we'll realize how good he's been to us. And when we get to heaven, all those times of goodness that we didn't give him glory and that we didn't praise him, those times he saved us, those times he promoted us, those times he healed us that we didn't really catch it, we didn't get it, we didn't notice it, we're going to know it when we get there. We're going to look at him and we're going to see it, and it's going to be a revelation, and we're going to go, that was you. That's what we're going to see when we get to heaven. We're going to see how much he really loves us. We're going to see how great he is, how good he is, how much he was enamored with us. You know, I love my kids. I love my grandkids. I mean, there's nothing like hugging my kid. I just love my grandkids. I could just hug on them. And those little girls, they just know that all they got to do is just go like that and pop my neck when I did it. But anyway, they just got to go like that, and I'll give them the world. They know it. They know I'll do it. God loves you more, so much more than that. If you can, you see, you can't even imagine how much he loves you. You can't do it. You just get pieces of it. But he really, this whole thing boils down to God cares about somebody loves me. Jesus. Amen? And in the ages to come, we're going to find out about that love. This classic verse, 8th, 9th, 10th verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I got nothing to boast in here. I got nothing to be proud about. I didn't do anything. I just accepted him. In fact, you want to know what I did? I quit. That's what I did to get saved. I quit running. I laid down my arms of rebellion. I unloaded them all. Put all my guns down, all my knives down. Now, I'm not saying the reality. I'm a Texan. I got guns. But anyway, in the fight against God, I laid everything down. And I just accepted his gift. I quit running and let him catch me. That's when Brenda and I fell in love, that's what happened. I finally just quit running and let her catch me. I'm going to be in trouble when I get home. Yeah, when I get home, yeah. But notice this last verse, and I'll close out here. Y'all, is this helping anybody? Okay. I just want to bless you, want to help you. And get your perspective right. See, because this affects everything. It affects the way you pray, affects the way you live, affects the way you relate to other people. You know, you need to get a revelation of God's love for you. And then you need to share that love with others. And you'll be more comfortable in your own skin around people. You'll be a lot more comfortable helping others, reaching out to others, if you understand how loved you are. Praise God, and you are. And I tell you, you'll be more hesitant to criticize and to hurt someone that God loves that much. Hello? Because that's what we do when we hurt each other. We're hurting people that Jesus died for. We don't often think about that. But they count with God. God cares about them. We should care too. Amen? For we are his workmanship. 10th verse. Let's get into works real quick, and I'll just close this out. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But what causes that to happen? The love of God. The love of God compels me to do good works. Good works don't compel me to love. The love of God compels me to do good works. And the more I find out about him, the more I love him. See, you don't have a work problem or a law problem. You got a love problem. If you're having trouble serving God, it's because you don't love him like you should. You don't have a revelation of his love. You get a revelation of his love, you have no problem serving him. You go out of your way to make him happy, just like you did when you were dating, or just like you do when someone that you like comes over to your house. You go out of your way to do things to please them. If you love someone, you care about somebody, you will live right. But let's don't get it. I heard it said this week at the conference. I thought it was really good. We sometimes get these words backwards. Belong, believe, behave. Until you belong, learn you belong, and believe, you won't behave. We try to behave, then believe, and then belong. Because we behave, we belong. No, because we belong, behave. Y'all getting it? I belong. I belong in this thing. Jesus paid a price for my sins. I accepted him. I am in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get in Christ. I'm not trying to be in Christ. I'm not trying to get God to love me. He loves me. I belong, and I believe that. And because I belong, because I believe that, I behave. Amen.